sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
Biz Talk Radio is proud to bring you Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum. Straight talk about you and your money. You can reach Gary now at 877-747-EDGE. That's 877-747-3343. Here is your host, Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Gary Kaltbaum, your host. Hey, thanks for being with us today. Glad you're here, ladies and gentlemen. Happy that you are listening. It is Tuesday, May 21st, 2019, and we're here to talk about everything that's swirling in front of us from everywhere. And the markets, which are basically being, for lack of a better way of putting it, held hostage right now by the news of the day on the latest, it's all about the trade wars. We'll have that and much more as we go through the shows. But first, if you do not get this show in your city, go to GaryK.com. You can listen live or archive. We're live 6.06 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Also at GaryK.com, you can follow me on Twitter. Just press the button or go to Twitter at Gary Kaltbaum. You can email me. Just be nice. Read our commentary, articles we post. If you like to hear what we're doing, we'd like to hear what you're doing, press the money management button. Press the subscribe button to get our notes direct to you. And the convictionleaders.com email service, which is right there again at GaryK.com. You know, we never know what we're going to talk about here. Seriously, we really don't. We don't script it, but we know what the big news of the day is. We know what obviously we can tell you what the markets are doing. We'll have the market wrap in a couple of minutes. But you know what today's news is that was out front and center? Are you ready for the news? The Democrats and the Republicans getting together to raise our debt ceiling, because they have to raise our debt ceiling in order to pay our bills. And of course, they're all acting like this is a must. They have to. If not, we can't default, or else the end of the world will happen. And I ask myself a question every time we get to this point. How did we get here? How did we get to the point where we have to take on more debt or else? You know how we got here? There's an old line on money and the ozing of money. Did I just make up a word, ozing? Ozying. When you owe a little bit of money to the bank, it's your problem. When you owe a ton to the bank, it's their problem. That's what's happened here. Our government owes a frickin' ton. Of course, we owe that frickin' ton. We owe that frickin' ton. And there's no way of coming out of it except to put out more debt. That's all. They continue to spend more than they take in. And nobody, but nobody, does anything about it. Nobody does anything about it. Nobody does anything about it. $550 billion. $550 billion. That's how much the taxpayer, you and me, are paying towards interest this year. You know how they're talking about infrastructure now? Infrastructure. They need money for infrastructure. Well, $550 billion is going towards interest because of these people. And, you know, I read something else today. Somebody put out, these aren't leaders. They're representatives. They represent us. They ain't representing us. They ain't representing us. They're representing themselves. And we're screwed. And you know what's going to happen with all these politicians? They're all going to be gone. They're going to be dead. Or lobbyists. Or get a job on Wall Street. That's what they all do. For the most part. You remember what happened just a decade ago, right? We bailed their arses out. By the way, not just Wall Street. We bailed the politicians and their moronic moves out. And yet we keep voting them in. The same people over and over and over and over again. Anyway, I just had to bring that up because I have news for you. They're raising the debt ceiling again. And I remember many years ago, the debt ceiling was a nasty phrase. There were politicians that actually fought it. Fought it to the very last inch. We are not raising the debt ceiling. It actually mattered. And now it doesn't. And not only does it matter, does it not matter to the politicians, economists are saying if we don't take on more debt, we're screwed. It used to be the other way around. Economics 101 states it's the other way around. Bringing on more debt makes us screwed. Rating services that are supposed to warn us of more debt tell us we need more debt. But don't worry, it's only $22 trillion now. It's only $22 trillion. Only $1 trillion a year deficits. And the band plays on. And the band plays on. Anyway, I just had to mention that. Not to mention Dressbarn is shutting 650 stores and going out of business, which it's affectionately known as the retail apocalypse that's been going on. Just so you know, this year, more retail store closures this year, and we're in May, than last year. And the consumer's actually doing okay. It continues to be bricks and mortar death. Death of bricks and mortar to a certain extent. We're always going to have retail. But you better be good at it or else. Dressbarn, bye-bye. 650 stores. How many? What do you think? 5 to 10,000 people out of jobs? One store, five employees? Now let's make it 10. Let's make it 10. 6,500? That's the guess. I'll have to look it up. JCPenney's numbers wasn't so good. Kohl's sales were down. Even Home Depot's numbers weren't as good as expected. Home Depot. Anyway, just You know, I'd rather not talk about debt and deficits, but it's a fact of life, kids. And I know, you know, it's a fact of life, unfortunately. And the Mets keep losing also. And now Cespedes may be out for the year, busted his ankle on his farm or his ranch that he has in Florida. Yay. Yay. By the way, Joe Biden's in my neighborhood tonight for a fundraiser. Up next on The Edge, market wrap, news of the day, all that stuff today. Thanks for being here. I'm Gary. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
It's time to switch on the integrator units and get the brain cells working.
You're listening to...
Hey, this promises to be fun.
Investor's Edge.
The last bastion of quality programming.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
It doesn't get better than this.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. Thanks for being with us today. The market wrap is brought to you by investment-models.com. That's Jim Rohrbach, one of the great market timers. No gray areas with the man. You're either in or out of the market with his proprietary indicators. Go check it out. Investment-models.com. Well, as I have told you, I think the president watches the market and reacts to the market with moves. No, really. We think he bases some of his decisions based on what the market's doing that day. You don't believe me? Market's been getting stiffed recently because of tariffs and all kinds of stuff. Well, on Monday, we are told by the administration restrictions on Huawei, that Chinese telecom, electronic technology, gargantuan company out of China. Restrictions. You can't do business with Huawei. And the semiconductors got smacked to smithereens. Technology stock smacked. Market's been getting hit. Today they, We're going to hold off on this, that, well, kind of, sort of, and waiver. You get one, maybe you get, we'll see what happens. So Dow up 197, S&P up 24, NASDAQ 83, NASDAQ 174, SOX up 28. Transports up 49, advanced declines 27.7, New York 22.10 on the NASDAQ. You do realize last week at the beginning of the week, we are putting auto tariffs on Europe. If they do not do something about agriculture, because they do not buy enough of our ag, and if they do not move towards us, we are putting the auto tariffs on them. End of the week. We're going to put off the auto tariffs for 6 months. No, that's what happened. Why? Markets were going down. Steel and aluminum tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Okay, we're gonna take those off now. Remember when the market was getting cheesed throughout the fourth quarter of last year? All of a sudden, the negotiations are going great. And then we've got to new highs in the market almost. Oh, negotiate. Oh, we're going to get stricter and stronger. Blah, blah. Anyway, so that's what we're dealing with. I'm serious. And by the way, I'm not saying that as a put down of the president. I'm stating a fact. It's not hard to add one plus one. How do we go from yesterday from this administration, Huawei, you are screwed, and all you semiconductor companies can no longer sell to them to, well, it's Tuesday, and we're going to kind of, we'll let you know. Any of you from the administration listening to this show, I'm just letting you know this is constructive criticism because I want him doing well. You cannot continue to do this and make decisions based on up and down markets and expect good things to eventually happen. Tell the president he's done a very good job on the corporate tax cut. Not as great on the individual tax cut. He's done a marvelous job with regulations being cut. The whole demeanor of business has been better. But you need to tell him tariffs are a tax hike on those same people you tax cutted. And there's a reason why the president hurt the farmers with tariffs and he's now subsidizing them. Tell the president that. Tell the president that. You must. I have no agenda. I have no ulterior motive. I want free markets again. And I know that may be wishful thinking with these central banks, but we can still hope. Kohl's, as mentioned earlier, down almost $8 today. Numbers not very good. Home Depot was down 2 or 3 early, finished up 50 cents, but their numbers, major deceleration of earnings. Sales growth mid-single digits, not the end of the world. I believe Lowe's reports tomorrow. In the Dow today, Boeing up 6. Out of nowhere, a report came out this morning that, you know, investigators may be looking at the Ethiopian Airlines crash, that it may have been birds. Now, I'm wondering who planted that story. Apple was up 3.5. Caterpillar up 2.5. Goldman Sachs almost up 2. IBM was up a stick. 3M up a stick. United Tech up 2.5. United Health up 4 as the managed care stocks continue to improve. Remember what I told you here, and it's very tough to play them, though. They had a mini crash. They're rallying back up because supposedly they had a mini crash based on worry about Medicare for all. As we told you, cannot happen for 2 years, and we had no idea while these things got hit. But United Health broke back above the 50-day moving average at around 241. It's now 249. Still way under the highs. Defense stock strong today. Market loves a good war. And of course, if you haven't read, let me tell you, there's some tension between us and Iran. I do not think we are sending anybody there, ladies and gentlemen, even though the media trying to paint Trump into being a nut job and wanting 120,000 of our soldiers going, that ain't happening. The media is insane. As much as I rip Trump, times it by 20 on our media. Sick in the mind. Sick, twisted individuals. But that's just my opinion. You all may have a different opinion. By the way, I traffic getting to the studio because of Biden in the neighborhood. Big Joe Biden, doing a big fundraiser in my neighborhood tonight. I like Joe. Seems like a nice chap. Don't know about him being president, but seems like a nice chap. Up next on The Edge, more on the markets. Other stuff. Thanks for being here. I'm Gary. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
Listening to
America is talking.
Investor's Edge.
He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet here. Send your other boy.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
Comes highly recommended. You're going to feel better if you talk to him.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. Overall, you had a bounce in the market today. The NASDAQ remains below the 50-day moving average. Volume was lighter today than on the drop, which is not the greatest news, but doesn't have to be the end of the world. The S&P 500 kind of sort of looks the same as the NASDAQ to a certain extent. And again, much lighter volume today than on the drops. The Dow basically looks the same also. Russell 2000 has not been as strong as the rest out there, and that trades below the 50-day also, as well as the 200-day, but holding a little bit of support over the last 7 days. The transports, not much. You know what we may just be doing now, ladies and gentlemen? We had a very good 4 months, and now we're going to have some nausea for a few months. You know that sell in May and go away type thing? But again, doesn't have to mean the end of the world, though there's been some pretty serious damage in a bunch of areas that we've highlighted for you. I mean, the SOX was up 28 today, but the SOX is still, you ready? 1604, and it's closed today at 1374. In a matter of what, 3.5 weeks? Trade almost all the way down to the 200-day moving average. And then on an individual basis, you know, a lot of things have been busted up. Apple, been busted up. Amazon's not really busted up, and Amazon's still holding the 50-day. Netflix tried to break out, fell right back down. Tesla still, gee whiz, man. 205, hit 198 today. There was an analyst that came out and said it's going to 10. I always love that when an analyst on a $200 stock either say it's going to 1,000 or it's going to 10. Not a big fan of either. Not a big fan. But you know where we stand on Tesla. A, number one, technically, nothing but sellers. Nothing but institutional selling. How do we measure it? Big volume down days, light volume up days. That's number one. But number two is that intangible, which is not so intangible anymore. It's pretty much tangible. Wall Street doesn't trust Elon Musk anymore. And he's earned that. And that's unfortunate. Man's a genius. You can't tell people 10 and comes in 5. Can't tell people 100 and it comes in 30. And Wall Street's had enough. And then there's the little interesting issue of cash. You know, they just had to go and raise another couple of billion dollars. So again, you know where we stand on Tesla. And I'm not saying you can't trade it. I'm not saying there's not going to be any rallies, even sharp rallies, especially when there's a measly, let me tell you what there is, 40 million share short, about 40. Let's call it 35 to 40 million share short. And what happens is when you have such a big short, any decent news and it starts rallying, shorts tend to cover and makes it move a little bit quicker. You remember Continental Resources, symbol CLR? We just mentioned to you that the CEO bought like $100 million worth of stock back in March, around $43, immediately went to 52. Well, in the intervening weeks, it's come down from 52 down to 42. And, of course, one of the reasons why is oil prices have come down pretty decently. The CEO just came in and bought another, I think, $10 million worth of stock yesterday. Right around the 42 area, a little under 42. Closed up a buck and a half today. Maybe on that news because it showed up today. So I'm just letting you know, CLR, Continental Resources, we are not telling you to buy it. We are not telling you to sell it. We are not telling you to short it or cover it. We're giving you no recommendation. We are just reporting to you that Harold Hamm, the CEO, came in and bought a bunch more. So now on several occasions, he's buying this in the low 40s. Disclaimer. He bought some in the 60s a year ago. But not as big as this. So let's see what happens. We'll watch it together. We traded a little bit of stock. We're looking at it again. We don't own it right now. Again, we're not recommending anything to you. We're just reporting it to you. And we have no agenda, no ulterior motive. We do not own the stock. Other stuff. Misinformation. Misinformation. There's a bunch of that on Wall Street, unfortunately. We follow a certain few people that we believe give solid information, but often there is misinformation. Always be careful of A, the perma bulls, B, the perma bears. The ones that are telling you we're going 1,000 on the Dow, but they've been telling you for 20,000 Dow points. The ones that telling you we're going to 50,000 Dow, but when we go into a bear market, don't worry, everything's okay. We're just letting you know there's some misinformation out there right now on earnings on Wall Street. They're not good at all, overall. Now, we're not talking about companies that are growing their businesses strong. There's a bunch of them. We've been giving you out the symbols on a bunch of them. We're talking overall. You know, like a 3M earnings down 11%. IBM earnings down 8%. Boeing earnings down 13%. Year over year. Sales, Procter & Gamble up 0%. Sales, Boeing down 2%. DuPont, earnings down 25%. Revenues down 9%. There's a lot of that. So just be careful about that talk. Because their new talk is, because, you know, they kind of know facts. Well, earnings are going to come back again. They don't know. That's their hope, that earnings will reaccelerate. That's their hope. I have news for you. Hope and prayer have never, ever worked in the markets. I've tried, doesn't work. Crossing your fingers don't work. Not stepping on a crack in the sidewalk doesn't work. Ouija boards don't work. Rabbit's feet don't work. Hard work works. Well, we think. So we just want you to just be careful about that. Because the next time down, you will hear what you heard in the fourth quarter of last year. Don't worry, everything's okay. Oh, wait a minute. Everything is okay. Market came back. Well, okay. We'll grant them that until it doesn't. We're getting asked a lot about Boeing. We're going to continue to say to you, we don't know. Too much uncertainty. You're going to get rallies. You're going to get drops. For the life of me, where this came from about, it was a bird strike with Ethiopian Airlines. There's been no evidence shown that there was a bird strike as of yet. We just worry about time, trust, litigation costs, orders, cancellation of orders. So we just think you got to be a little bit careful if they get past this. And it's probably more than an if. When they get past this, I'm sure Boeing is going to kick some royal behind. For right now, we're really not seeing any institutional oomph buying into the stock just yet. It's trading below the 200-day moving average, trading below the 50-day moving average, which continues to descend. And still, we're not hearing much except, we got our technology's better, we're doing this. I got to believe that whoever the powers that be are on this, going to take their sweet time on this. Up next, more of this, more of that, more of the other thing. We thank you for being here. I'm Gary. This is the one and only Investor's Enemy.
You're listening to...
What are we waiting for?
Well, what are you waiting for?
One, two, ready, go.
Action! Investor's Edge. With Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you're having a good day. Yeah, the Mets keep losing. By the way, you know I give you out Super Bowl picks and Final Four, we won both and all that. And we gave you New England to win the Super Bowl when the playoffs started. I must tell you, we would have had the Kentucky Derby winner if not the interference. It was my horse that got interfered with. I had the Preakness winner. That horse that won, we had it. And you ready for this in the NBA playoffs? 11-3. And you know what the amazing thing about the NBA odds makers? You know, I think I've won 7 of those games by a point or two. It's amazing how last night I had Golden State -2. They won by 2. I should have lost the game, and then I should have won the game in overtime. But it's amazing how good these odds makers are. I should have been giving you playoff games. Of course, if I start giving them to you now, I'll start losing. What we'll probably do is give you the finals. 11-3 in the playoffs. We gave you New England at the beginning of the playoffs to win the whole Super Bowl. We were undefeated in the playoffs of the NFL. We gave you, we nailed Alabama getting their head handed to them in the NCAA championship. Anyway, 11-3 in the NBA. And by the way, we don't really gamble. The only reason I'm doing any gambling right now is because I won on the Super Bowl and I'm parlaying that money. At the end of the NBA season, we'll shut it down. Well, when I go to zero. And just remember, gamblers lose. Just keep that in mind. Just remember that. I got to tell you that. But we're pretty good at it. Don't ask me why. We just have a knack, I guess. The knack. Other things we're being asked about. You ready? Foreign markets. They continue to woefully underperform the U.S. markets. And we would continue to underweight them. That's all. We will have another day where the foreign markets outperform ours. It just ain't happening. And we think what is going on there is their just economies are not doing great. And their debt burden is building up. And, of course, the UK has the Brexit. Do you believe in – I believe in June it's going to be 3 years on Brexit. Thinking about we the people, they don't care about the people there. That should have been done 2 years ago. People voted. Get us out of the European Union. 3 years later, still in the European Union. Lovely. I'm being asked about Bitcoin. As you know, into the major league climactic run, which occurred in December 17,
we told you the end is near for the coins. And as you know, the Bitcoin dropped in the 80s, while other coins dropped, 90 to 100. Many of the coins are just plain gone. And of course, you had scammers come out with this coin and that coin. Venezuela came out with a coin. Dennis Rodman came out. What was Dennis Rodman's was called the pot coin. Well, Bitcoin is gone now. On April 2nd, we told you that the Bitcoin broke out to the upside off the lows. And since that time, it's up about, from the close that day, it's gone up about 80%. But is still down, I think, about 70% from the highs. Is that about right? Yeah, probably in there. I got news for you. Feels like Bitcoin may go higher. And I'm getting the question, why is it going up, Gary? You said it's going to zero. Remember, price is what somebody's willing to pay for. That's all. And right now, whoever's willing to pay higher prices on a daily basis, boarding a moving train. That's all. Most coins are down 90 to 100, many down 100. And we thought, we've been telling you all along, we think that Bitcoin not going to zero because it's in just a few big hands. They can't sell into each other. Now, if those big hands were smart, they'd be selling into this. But they're insane, so they're probably not. It looks like it wants to go higher. As far as other coins, I heard that other one, Ethereum, is that what its name? Was up like 50% last week after being down like 90-something. Remember, if something goes from 100 down to 5, if it goes up 100%, it's still down 90%. So technically, that April 2nd day we said to you, looks like it broke out off the lows. I should have bought some. Oh, well. Ain't happening. I don't buy inanimate objects. But who knows? Anything's possible. I saw the other day a piece of art going for $100 million. A picture. $100 million. Do you know why it was $100 million? Because somebody was willing to pay for it. That's all. Simple as that. But just remember, when all's said and done, valuation will matter in every asset class. So that's your Bitcoin story today. We'll keep watching it for you, as long as you keep asking. Have a great evening. Drive carefully. When you get home, do like we do. Simple procedure. Make sure you hug your children. Night-night all.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Investor's Edge on the Biz Talk Radio Network. If you missed any of today's show or to get in touch with Gary Kaltbaum, please go to GaryK.com. That's GaryK.com. To reach Gary Kaltbaum at his office, call 1-888-422-5559. That's 1-888-422-5559.